Hello, welcome everyone to the Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on JTS Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world with transformational businesses, thoughts, ideas, and actions that encourage and inspire. My name is Taylor Tagg. I am a forgiveness coach certified by the Midwest Institute for Forgiveness Training and a certified Napoleon Hill Foundation leadership instructor. I teach people precisely how to let go of hurt and resentments, both big and small, releasing emotional pain and suffering to experience lasting peace, freedom, and inner success. To find out more about my work and my latest book, The Path to a Peaceful Heart, please visit me at evolvingheart.com and sign up for my monthly newsletter. I'm also writing a new book, Certified Napoleon Hill Instructors, Tom Cunningham and Tim Jim on Lessons from Adversity and Defeat, to be published in the fall of 2013. You can check out more on the Triple T team at adversityanddefeat.com. Now to today's success story. We have a very special guest today, and his name is Bill Ferguson. Now, Bill's work has been called the penicillin of psychology. He's been featured on Oprah and recommended by both the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post. His book, How to Heal a Painful Relationship, has become a national bestseller. He's also the author of Get Your Power Back and Miracles Are Guaranteed. The Texas Counseling Association thinks so highly of Bill's work, they asked him to deliver the keynote address at their annual convention, where he taught his approach to over 2,300 counselors and therapists. Bill has led over 2,000 workshops and has worked with thousands of individuals. And we're happy to have you on the show, Bill, today to talk about how to clear up some areas of your life and how to create healthy relationships. So, Bill, welcome to you to Journey to Success today. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, and I've been looking forward to being with you.
Well, thank you for joining us on the program today, and I guess we want to cover some ground on relationships and how to clear up some problem areas in our life, which you're very, very good at what you do and how you explain this, Bill. So tell us about what it means to clear up some of our relationships and heal some of the problems that we have.
Okay. Well, first off, the natural state of who we are underneath all the junk, is pure love, pure creation, pure possibility. And as we bring that forth through us into our life, life works incredibly. You know, look at when you're in the experience of love. When you're in the experience of love, you're happy, you're alive, you're free, you feel good about yourself, you feel good about life. And when you're in that state, notice that the circumstances of life have no power over you. You know, instead of life being on top of you, you're on top of life. Also, when you're in that experience of love, you have a very positive attitude. And then we radiate that positive energy into our life, and then great things happen. See, and then that's the natural state. That's the essence of who we are. And what we do is we disconnect from it. We shut that down. And then when you shut that down, then life stops working. Now, one thing that's important to notice is that there's a huge difference between the reality and our reality.
Explain that to us a little bit.
Okay, in the reality, things just are. What so is what so. What happened, happened. What is. Period. Okay, that's the reality. Our reality consists of all the feelings, the emotion, the thoughts, the opinions, the points of view, the stuff. So there's the truth, and then there's our stuff about it. And it's our stuff that shapes our actions and determines what happens in our lives. Our inner state, what we'll be seeing is that our inner state is never determined by anything outside of us. It's determined solely by how we relate to what's outside of us. When you shift how you relate to life, you change what happens around you.
Absolutely. And, you know, the clients I work with, I always tell them that this is an inside-out game we're playing here. Not the other way around.
Yes, yes. And the thing that gets us in trouble, what it is that keeps life from working is, see, every time there's an area of life that isn't working, every time there's a relationship that isn't working, there's an underlying condition that forces it to not work. You know, it is actually physically impossible for an area of life to not work because of that area of life. Anytime there's an area of life that isn't working, that's never the problem. It's always the symptom. It's the symptom of this underlying condition. And basically, what this underlying condition is that anytime there's an area of life that isn't working, there is a truth that we're fighting. There is some circumstance that's in our life that is the way that it is, but we're fighting it.
And this could be conscious or even unconscious too, is that correct?
That's right. Well, it's usually unconscious.
Yeah.
It's unconscious. See, where life works is when you're at peace in your heart. And when you're at peace with the way things are, which doesn't mean you like the way things are, but you're at peace with the way things are, when you have that inner peace, you see clearly. You're creative, you're resourceful, you can see what you need to do, you can see what needs to be done. And in that state of peace, solutions, opportunity, and possibility show up. So the areas of life that work great are areas where we're at peace with the truth. And when you're at peace with the truth, then automatically the focus is on, okay, given that these are the facts, I don't like it that these are the facts, but given that these are the facts, what do I need to do? See, and that's where life works. If you look at any area of life that isn't working, instead of putting the focus on what do I need to do based on the way my situation is, instead, all the focus is on fighting the way my situation is. And when the focus is on resisting instead of solutions, you magnify the problem instead of resolve the problem.
Yeah, wonderful. And would you be able to speak to that a little bit more about the law of resistance, Bill? Because I think many people and listeners, we deal with life and we automatically resist it. And sometimes we don't even think about doing it. We just do it automatically because that's just it, just what we've been taught to do. So talk about the law of resistance a little bit and how that works.
Yes, yes. Okay, so keep in mind that what so is always what so. By the way, pick a time in your life when you've been upset and notice something happened. It happened. That's the truth. And then notice that no matter how much you hate what happened, no matter how much you resisted what happened, the hating and fighting and resisting what happened doesn't change what happened. See, there's the truth, and then there's our feelings about it. And our feelings about it don't change the truth. Okay, effective action can make some changes in your life, but the resisting will not. Resisting, see, I call it the law of resistance. Whatever you resist, no matter what it is, the very act of resisting is going to magnify and give power to whatever you're resisting. Give you some examples. Imagine on the ceiling above you four large yellow balloons. Now, whatever you do, don't think about them. So notice
that's
what happens.
Impossible, right?
Yeah, it is, because when you fight the yellow balloons, you create more yellow balloons. See, and it's like a law of physics. It's what and that the law of resistance applies in every single area of your life. Another example, have you ever had a relationship with somebody and that person had a particular characteristic that you couldn't stand and you resisted that characteristic?
Of course.
Yeah, what happens to the characteristic when you fight it?
It magnifies.
It magnifies. So the resisting of the characteristic doesn't make it go away. It causes it to grow. And it will grow not only in your perception, but it will actually show up more in the world around you. So like if I have a relationship with somebody and I'm resisting losing her, the more I resist losing her, the more I'm going to hang on to her, the more I'm going to hang on to her, I'm going to push her away, which creates the very thing that I'm resisting.
Absolutely. And go ahead.
So anytime there's a relationship or an area of life that isn't working, there's something that's in our life that is the way that it is. And instead of looking to see what do I need to do based on the truth of the way things are, what we do instead is fight the way things are, which sets in motion a number of very destructive processes, one of which is this law of resistance. When you fight the way something is, the fighting it doesn't make it go away, it gives it more power. So the more you can flow with the truth of the way things are, then solutions, opportunity, and possibility start showing up.
Absolutely. And I like to think about it as, like you said, the truth of what is versus what we want it to be or wish it was.
Yeah, huge difference. Huge difference. Because the more you can surrender to the truth, and incidentally, surrendering to the truth doesn't mean do nothing. Surrendering to the truth frees you up inside so that you can see what you need to do.
And we're talking about the solution here. If resistance is creating more resistance, then obviously the answer must be surrendering to the truth of what is. And that's a hard thing for people to do.
Well, absolutely. And the reason it's so hard to do that, I'm going to ask a question. Okay, when we fight the truth, we set in motion a whole bunch of destructive processes. So the question is, well, why can't we be at peace with the truth? Why do we fight the truth? And basically, why we fight the truth is because the truth hurts. It strikes a nerve. And what's the real threat is the nerve, not the circumstance that triggers it. But we don't notice the nerve. All we notice is the circumstance that triggers it. So all of our focus is on the circumstances. But we're focusing in a direction that's going to magnify the problem instead of resolving. And another thing that happens is that when you fight the truth, you lose your power.
That's right. You give it away, basically, don't you?
Yes. So one thing might be good to talk about, if you want, is talk about the law of cause and effect.
Yeah, let's talk about cause and effect, because I think people generally know about cause and effect, but what does that mean in our life?
Okay. Well, see, at any moment, we're totally, hopelessly at the effect of the world around us. No matter what happens around us, we react. We're totally at the effect. But what we don't notice is that simultaneously, the world around us is totally at the effect of us. That makes us the cause. So at any moment, you're at the effect of your life, and you're the cause of your life. You're the victim of your life, and you're the creator of your life, both at the same time. But we only experience ourselves as being one or the other. When you experience yourself as being at the effect, you have no power. You're powerless. Life is on top of you. And anytime we're in the presence of an area of our lives that doesn't work, or anytime we're in a state of fear and upset, we're at the effect. And when you're at the effect, you lose your confidence, you lose your energy. And if you go deep enough at the effect, you go into depression. That's what depression is. So can you relate to being at the effect?
Oh, absolutely.
And as a culture, we spend most of our lives at the effect. Okay, now let's look at the contrast. Have you ever had a time when there was something in your life that you were the effect of? And it just nagged at you and it nagged at you, and then you reached a point where you decided, all right, enough is enough. I'm tired of messing with this. I'm going to handle it, and I don't care what it takes to handle it, but I'm going to handle it, and I'm going to handle it now. And you started taking action to handle it.
That's right. You say, the hell with it. I'm taking charge of this thing.
Yeah, and I'm going to handle it. And then notice the moment you do that, you shift from being at the effect to being at cause. But the circumstances didn't change. The only change was inside of you. You went from being at the effect to being at cause. And then instantly you got your power back, you got your confidence back, you got your energy back. So can you relate to being at cause?
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, whether you're at cause or you're at the effect, they're both states of mind. To the extent you live at cause, you're on top of life, you can chart your course, you can make things happen, you can have your dreams come true. To the extent you live at the effect, you're the victim, you're powerless, you can't make anything come true except more suffering. And
absolutely,
they're both states of mind. The natural state of who we are is cause. But there's something very specific that we do that puts us at the effect, that literally throws our power away. And what that is, what throws away our power, is fighting the truth of something. There's some circumstance that's in our life, and then we fight it. And in our fighting it, we give it total power over us.
Yes, absolutely. I imagine it to be in somewhat similar to a victim of the circumstances, where for a person it feels like life is happening to me, right? Everything is coming at me and happening to me.
Yes.
And I try to help people switch that around and say life is not happening to you. Look at it as happening for you. That turns the person around to be at the level of cause where they can take charge.
Yes.
Life is happening for them, where they're meant to learn something that they need to learn to move forward in their life. And what is that?
Yes, and when people get back at cause, they become very, very effective. And then life becomes a lot more enjoyable because you're on top of it instead of it's on top of you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So anytime there's an area of life that isn't working, there is some circumstance that we're fighting. There's something that we're fighting. And in our fighting it, we magnify it, we give it power, and we lose our power. We put ourselves at the effect. And then
I think anybody,
why we fight is just because the truth hurts.
Right. And I think anybody listening to this show and this program, you know, wants to have their power. And
well,
for many employers right now, they're probably realizing that they're giving their power away and they don't even realize it. And so Bill's giving us some great tips here on how we can turn that around and begin to take charge and get our power back.
Yes, it's so important. And getting our power back, and it's more than getting our power back. It's getting us back. We've lost
right.
Who we are. But who we are is that state of pure love, pure creation, pure possibility. And as you bring you into a situation, life's going to work incredibly. But we've lost that because we've made ourselves the victim of our circumstances. So now it's time to turn it around.
Well, let's do that. Let's turn it around.
Yeah, I want to give you an example of what happens when you let go. It's what this is all about. It's about letting go. Okay. Have you ever had a time in your life when there was something you were resisting, and you resisted it, and you resisted it, and then you reached a point where you decided, oh, the heck with it. Whatever happens, happens. I'll deal with it.
Absolutely. Happens all the time.
The moment you did that, what happened inside?
A shift happened.
Yes. And I do the workshops all the time, and I ask people that question. And then the response is universal. The moment you let go of the resisting, you get your peace back. You get you back. And then the next thing that happens is everything looks different. Everything looks different because the tunnel vision of the upset disappears. So instead of having 3 degrees of possibility, you now got 360 degrees of possibility. And then the third thing that happens when you let go is that area of life starts clearing up. See, and I ask this question all the time, and the response is always the same with everybody. If you let go of the resisting, you restore your ability to see clearly, and that solution starts showing up, and that area of life starts clearing up. See, life will always, 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 always take care of itself if we can get the ego out of the equation.
And that's a difficult thing to do for a lot of us.
Well, it's really almost impossible when you don't know how. Because, see, ultimately, why we fight life, why we fight the truth, is because the truth hurts, and more specifically, it strikes a nerve. And subconsciously, this nerve is perceived as a major threat to our survival. So our whole lives are subconsciously, the focus of our whole lives subconsciously is how to avoid feeling this hurt. And what this hurt is, it's the childhood hurt of feeling worthless, not good enough, not worth loving, that sort of thing. See, when we're born pure love, but we're born into a world that kills us. So in the process of growing up, every single one of us gets hurt, and we get hurt a lot. Can you relate to being hurt as a child?
Oh, yeah, Bill. Most of my listeners know that I went through a pretty terrible situation of abuse as a child, and I was very, very hurt and spent 30 years reversing that and coming out of it and wrote a nice book, The Path to Peace of Heart, about that process.
Uh-huh.
But can we talk about that for a minute? Because there's a misconception that you're only hurt if you've gone through a significant abusive situation, but that's not really the case, is it?
Oh no, everybody has this hurt, and it can happen very innocently. Like somebody was telling me the other day about they saw a father and a daughter and a son, and then the father and the daughter went bicycling, but the little boy wasn't old enough to ride a bike, so he couldn't go with him. And the little boy was just crying and crying and crying because his sister and his father left on their bicycles without him. You know, and it's a very innocent little thing, but our hurt can get created in that moment. Because we're born pure love. Every one of us, we're born pure love. But we're born into a world that kills it. So what happens is that every one of us experiences very, very painful losses of love. And some obviously a lot more than others, but everybody gets it. And as a little child, the only way we can explain these painful losses of love is to blame ourselves. Clearly, I'm the problem. And then, so right. We create the belief, and then we fight the very belief that we created.
Exactly.
Give you an example. Years ago, I was in a department store, and there was this mother and daughter shopping. The little girl was about 4 years old, and she spilled her drink, which is something four-year-olds do. And the mother got real upset at her, started screaming at her, saying, "What's the matter with you? Why are you so stupid?" Well, the little girl can't, you see, where the little girl in this moment of deep hurt, she can't help but believe it. And it's got nothing to do with the truth, but it becomes her truth. And then she fights the very belief she created. Stupid is a horrible way to be, because if you're stupid, you'll never be loved. Look at my mom. My own mom doesn't love me because I'm stupid. Stupid's a kiss of death. I can't be stupid. I got to be smart. So she'll spend the whole rest of her life running from stupid, doing everything she can to become smart. But no matter what she does, it'll never be enough to get rid of that hurt. And if any circumstance comes along and hints that she really is stupid, that her mother was right about her, that circumstance will be perceived as a major threat to her survival. and she'll be forced to either attack or withdraw. So every area of life that doesn't work can be traced to the automatic subconscious avoidance of one of these hurts. Because in that
area
of life, you can't see clearly. You're threatened.
You're very threatened. And I think it shows up, at least from my perspective, it was my own internal question of, what did I do wrong? And that question went unanswered by anyone. And that unanswered question continued on into my adulthood and on and on and on until I decided that I had to do something about it myself.
Yes. Yeah, and the thing is that this hurt can get healed because the hurt isn't based on fact. You know, it's stuff that got made up. We create the belief that we're not okay, and then in a very specific way, and then we fight the very belief that we created, which then magnifies it out of proportion. And then
right.
Our
and
whole life is about trying to prove it's not true.
Exactly. And as kids, you know, we believe what our parents tell us. I mean, they're our parents, right? I mean, they're our guides. They know everything. So why wouldn't we believe them if they told us we were stupid? I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah, it's like as a little child, we couldn't come up with anything else. It was the only thing that made any sense. And this stuff gets created. This hurt is firmly in place by the time we're 4 years old. And then it's not that big at that age. But then something else happens, and then the hurt gets a little bit bigger. And then something else happens, and then it gets a little bit bigger, and it gets a little bit bigger. And then as we go through life, this hurt grows and grows and grows.
And I think that's why, you know, both you and my seminars, you know, help people to identify this hurt and let it go and release it, you know, so you can get to a point of healing in your life.
Oh, yeah, the finding and the healing of this hurt is probably the single most important thing a person can ever do. Because literally, every area of life that doesn't work, every self-sabotaging behavior pattern can be traced to the automatic avoidance of this hurt. And the areas of your life that work great are areas that this nerve isn't being triggered. You see clearly, that's why that area of life works. And the areas of your life that work great will be a disaster zone for somebody else. Because everybody has a different hurt, and each person avoids it in a different way, but wherever that hurt manifests, that area of life isn't going to work.
And so, can I ask you to maybe talk a little bit about looking at that hurt? For many of us listening, we say, you know what, that didn't really apply to me. But it probably kind of does. I mean, everybody's got that hurt somewhere, you know, within them. But it's hard to look at our own internal self and really pinpoint and focus on us. Can you give us some tips on how to create the willingness to look inside and see what's going on?
Yes. Okay. To be willing to look inside is ultimately a choice, but it's important to know what you're going to look for. And the hurt is always going to be the hurt of feeling in some very specific way, some form of not okay, not good enough, not worth loving, worthless, failure, something like that. And when you're looking, it's important to keep in mind that you're not looking for the truth. You're looking for an emotion. It would be physically impossible for somebody to be worthy or worthless, good enough, not good enough, success, failure, because ultimately these things are judgments. They're opinions, they're points of view, they're relative, and they only exist in our mind. They don't exist in reality. So in looking for your hurt, if you look at it in terms of what's the truth, you're going to totally miss it because the hurt and the truth are never, 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 never connected. So in looking for the hurt, don't look and see, is it true about you? Because it's not. Instead, look and see, if it were true, would that be painful? And, of course, the more painful it would be, the more it runs your life. And then this hurt is so painful that literally our whole life is about trying to set things up so I don't have to feel it. And then that creates a state of tunnel vision. That tunnel vision destroys our ability to find solutions, and it forces us to act in a way that magnifies the problem, because in that tunnel vision, since we're threatened, the only action is attack or withdraw. So, with me so far?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It makes perfect sense. And, you know, I want to just iterate for our, you know, our listeners here, too, that, you know, this hurt doesn't have to be a terrible tragedy that's happened in your life. It just has to be the belief that you were less than or not worthy in some small area of your life, and you believed it. And so it doesn't have to be this big thing. It can be very, very small.
That's right. And the way you can tell if you have this hurt is if you've ever been upset.
Right.
So if you've ever been upset, you got this hurt. Because no circumstance has the power to create an upset. An upset is a state of mind and can only exist if you're fighting the truth of something. So if you find an incident where you've been upset, notice what happened. Okay, what happened? That's the truth. And then there's your feelings about it. Now notice what would happen to the upset if somehow you were at peace with the truth. The upset would disappear, because upsets are never caused by what happens. An upset is a state of mind and can only exist if we fight what happens. And that's why different people get upset at different things, because each person has a different set of nerves to get triggered. So whenever you get upset, some nerve has been triggered. So every time you get upset is a great opportunity for healing, because your upsets will reveal to you the nerves that are being triggered. So one way to find this hurt is to make a list of all the major upsets that you've had in your life. And then with each incident, go to the hurt that's under the incident and then ask yourself, according to the hurt, not according to the truth, but according to the emotion, what incredibly painful thing would that circumstance say about you? And then do that with all of your upsets, and then you'll notice that the same hurt will keep showing up over and over and over again. That's the hurt of your life.
That's the pattern.
That's the pattern. And another great place to look at this is to look at the hurt you experienced as a child. Go back in time to when you experienced all that hurt as a child, and then put yourself in that emotion, and then ask yourself, according to the emotion, in the eyes of a little child, what incredibly painful negative thing would that say about you? And then how do you feel at the notion that down deep, that's the truth about you? You really are that way. And not only are you really that way, but the people that did all those horrible things to you were totally justified, because you are so worthless, not good enough, fill in the blank. Well, if that's a painful thought, that's the hurt that runs your life. And notice how that hurt keeps showing up over and over and over again.
And as adults, you know, we would look back and say, oh, that's totally ridiculous, and I would feel that way as a child, but the child in us felt that way in the moment at the time. And
oh, you bet.
Continue to feel that way until you heal it.
And it's another example of how the truth and the hurt are never connected.
Right.
They're never,
exactly,
ever connected, because if you look at the truth, you know, that's one thing. If you look at the hurt, that's a whole other thing.
Absolutely. So I want to take a minute here, Bill, before we get into other ways that you can heal this hurt. Let's let's tell people about you and where they can find you. We know Bill has a wonderful free e-course, Mastery of Life e-course, on his website, which I encourage everyone, all listeners, to sign up for. It's very good. I've gone through it myself. Bill, tell us how we can find you and learn more about you.
Yeah, I have a website, masteryoflife.com, and it has a lot of this information on the site, and it just walks you through the process of handling your life. And my newest book, Get Your Power Back, talks about how do you find and heal this deeper hurt. And you get information on the books, and we have different audio courses. We've just got a lot of, you know, valuable things on the website, so I invite you to go check it out. And definitely sign up for the e-course, because you get a lesson a week, and each lesson is a short, it gives you a very powerful insight with action to take. You work with that during the week, and you'll see immediate results, and a week later you get another lesson, and then it walks you literally through the process of handling your life, transforming your life. And each week it's a reminder of who you are. So it helps you recharge the batteries to your soul. So
right, and I've personally gone through this e-course, and it's just Bill creates the lessons are just simple, they're easy to move through, it's just very plain language, and it's like, this is what you need to do and focus on, and it's very easy to understand. I mean, it's probably the easiest lesson on dealing with the inner working, the inner game that I've ever come across. So I highly recommend it to our listeners, and go check that out at masteryoflife.com for sure. Okay, Bill, so let's talk about, I guess, the healing part of our hurt. If we can identify that which has hurt us as a child, can you share some tips on how we begin to heal this and work with it?
Okay. There's a number of elements in the healing process. And I want to back up just a little bit and talk a little bit about what we were talking about before about letting go.
Sure.
And because they both work together. See, on the surface, we resist certain circumstances. So, like, for example, if I have a relationship with somebody and I have a fear of losing her and then she leaves, and, well, on the surface, I'm resisting the circumstance called her leaving. But at a deeper level, we never resist the circumstances, not really. We resist the emotion. So if we're hanging on to somebody, we're hanging on the surface, we're hanging on because we don't want to lose the person, but at a deeper level, we're hanging on because we don't want to feel the feelings. Anytime we get upset, ultimately why we're upset is all this emotion is being triggered and we don't want to feel it. So if a circumstance comes along and triggers an emotion that you're totally willing to feel, that circumstance will have no power over you. But if a circumstance comes along and triggers an emotion that you're unwilling to feel, that circumstance will have total power over you.
And that's where blame and blame other people for circumstances that happen.
Yeah, all blaming, anger, and resentment are all subconscious defense mechanisms. They're pointing the focus at the other person. Over there, that's the problem. Over there, over there, over there. Not here, not me. Anger, resentment, and blaming are all created so we don't have to look at ourselves. And ultimately, why we don't want to look at ourselves is we don't want to see that we're the problem. We don't want to feel that hurt of that really we're worthless, not good enough, not worth loving, that sort of thing. Which is never the truth, it's just an emotion. But in an automatic attempt to avoid feeling that emotion, we blame, we have anger, resentment, and blaming. Which, and anger, resentment, and blaming, it throws away our power, makes us very ineffective, and creates a very painful life.
Right, and I know for many listeners, it is very difficult to even admit that I am the problem. It took a very traumatic experience or the loss of love in my own life for me to finally awaken to the fact that I was a problem and not everyone else around me. And so I know that, if, especially if the hurt is magnified, it is very tough for a person to say, I am the problem, not everyone else. Is there an easy transition into feeling that, or is it just something that just had to happen?
Yeah. Easy transition to healing that, feeling that, and I'll tell you in a minute. But I wanted to just add something to what you just said. See, like, relationships are not 50-50, they're 100-100. And it's the same thing with life. I am 100% responsible for what happens around me. And so I am the cause of what happens around me. But at the same time, I'm the victim of what happens. I'm at the effect. Well, when you can live from that place of cause, when you can see that you're the one that's always responsible, that gives you power to take action. You can make things happen. As long as you're blaming, you have no power and you're stuck. So seeing your responsibility in the matter is the key to having your power. Because you got power over you, you don't have much power over the other people in your life, the circumstances of your life.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
So, and of course, why we don't want to look over here is we don't want to see the hurt.
Right, and it's painful for many of us.
Yes, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about emotion. Okay, when we get upset, there's all sorts of chemical reactions that happen inside of us. These chemical reactions create a negative energy. If this negative energy does not get purged, if it does not get released from our body, it turns into suppressed emotion. And suppressed emotion is very, very destructive. The more suppressed emotion you have, the more it's going to get triggered by life, the more you're going to be threatened by life, the more you're going to fight, resist, hang on, withdraw, the more you're going to act destructively, which is going to sabotage your life and bring you more hurt. So whatever your suppressed hurt is, it grows and grows and grows. And the suppressed hurt, not only does it destroy your life or sabotage your life, but it also affects your health. Because there's a direct link between suppressed emotion and very, very serious physical problems.
Absolutely.
So the body just naturally wants to release the suppressed emotion. Okay, and in the way the body, a good way to see how the body does that is to look at little kids. So when little kids get hurt, look at what they do. They cry. And then when they get through crying, the hurt's all gone.
That's right. They go play like nothing ever happened.
Yes. And the thing is, see, little kids are masters at releasing suppressed emotion, at releasing this negative energy. And the thing that they do, which we have lost, the thing that they do is they feel their hurt willingly. They're totally willing to feel the emotion. And then that allows it to come and go. That's the natural healing process. But we live in a world that kills it. Now, you want to cry about something? I'll give you something to cry about. We're taught to suppress our emotion.
And we're taught that those emotions are bad or negative.
Yes.
And so we believe it.
Yes, and then we avoid them, not realizing that everything we do to avoid them magnifies them and gives them power. See, it's just like yellow balloons. As long as you fight the yellow balloons, you got yellow balloons everywhere. If you can just let them be there, they run their course and disappear. And it's exactly the same thing with hurt. Now another thing with hurt, there's crying does not equal healing.
Precisely.
Feeling it doesn't equal healing it. It's how you feel it determines whether the hurt comes or it goes. And there's basically two different ways to feel the hurt. You can either feel the hurt at cause or at the effect. Normally, we feel it at the effect. When you're feeling it at the effect, all the focus is on the circumstance. The circumstance is on top of you. You're at the effect of the circumstance. And
right.
When you're in that state, a person can cry hours a day for months and have no healing. But if you take the exact same hurt and feel it deliberately, purposefully, because you choose to, because you want to, because you want to reach in and grab it and pull it out, you can have a major healing in moments. One of the things that I've discovered is that as a human being, we have the ability to totally restore our peace within moments, no matter what the circumstance is.
Absolutely.
And once you discover that, that'll change the whole rest of your life. Because whenever you're in a difficult situation, top priority is to get you back, to get your peace back, because when you get you back, when you get your peace back, you get your effectiveness back.
Mm.
And as long as we're operating in a state of fear and upset, not only are we going to be ineffective, we're going to be downright counterproductive.
And so for our listeners right now who are saying, I want my peace back, whatever it takes, where do they begin?
Okay, there's a number of steps in transforming your life. First step is you got to see what's really going on. You got to look, you got to see what the mechanism that's creating this whole thing. Then the next step in transforming your life is to find and heal these deeper issues that mess everything up. And then the next step is to create that awakening where you get grounded in who you are, where you know so clearly that the circumstances are an illusion. And then the next step is to start taking action to start handling your life. And this is on the website, themasteryoflife.com, talks about these steps.
Right.
But basically, those are the steps of in turning everything around. Because it's not difficult to create an incredible life. You can have a life more wonderful than anything you can possibly imagine. And it's available to everybody, but it takes looking at life in a very different way. As long as we're focusing outside of us, we're going to live in a realm of fear, upset, and suffering. But when you start focusing inside of you, you start living a life of love, joy, peace, happiness, and miracles.
I don't know about you. I prefer the love, joy, peace, and miracles.
Oh, yeah. See, we live in two different realms. There's the realm of who you are, which is that realm of love. That's who you are. And then there's the realm of the circumstances. The realm of circumstances, all the focus is outside of us. In that realm of who you are, in that realm of love, all the focus is inside. You know, the realm of who you are, that's the realm of love, joy, peace, happiness, and miracles. The other one is the realm of fear, upset, and suffering. One is referred to as living in the light, living in the darkness. In the Bible it says somewhere, I give you life, I give you death. Choose life. One's called the oneness, the separateness. But they're totally different realms. And we have a choice as to which one we live in.
And that's the beauty of it, is to have choice. And,
yeah.
You know, many people don't even realize they have that choice.
Yeah. For sure. And ultimately, what it is that keeps us in that realm of the darkness is our attachment to circumstances, our hanging on to circumstances. One of the keys to being able to have your life be great is you got to be willing for anything to happen. You got to be willing for all your fears to come true. You got to be willing for whatever happens to happen. And then the irony is the more you're willing for your fears to come true, they won't. The more you're unwilling for your fears to come true, they will. It's just an irony, because the more your life is about the circumstances, you will operate in a state of fear, upset, and you will operate in a way that will push away whatever you seek for your happiness.
Absolutely, 100%.
So the more you're able to let go of your life, the irony is, you get it. But you don't need it.
And that's the beauty of it, right?
That's the beauty of it. So
we
live in a world of illusion where all the focus is outside of us. But what we don't notice is that the stuff that's outside of us, that's the symptom. That's our creation. And then we go through life trying to change the symptoms. But when you do that, nothing changes.
That's right. It keeps happening over and over and over.
Over and over and over again. But the moment you make that shift on the inside, everything starts changing on the outside.
And again, we're talking about an inside-out approach here,
yes.
Which is what a lot of us are not accustomed to.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and what all of my work is about showing people how to live in that experience of love, how to heal inside, and how to have their lives be great. Because it's not difficult to do it. You just gotta see what's going on. You gotta take some steps.
And you have to have the tools to do it, such as your program. And I appreciate you, Bill, for your work, because I know how important it is in people's lives. It's very, very similar to my work and how I approach my work as well. And I'm very appreciative of your place in this world, because I know that you help many, many people let go of that hurt and move forward and enjoy peace and happiness and prosperity in their life.
Yes, well, thank you. And it's just, yeah, I used to be a divorce attorney, and this is certainly a lot more fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. And again, for our listeners, let's let them know how they can get in touch with you. You can reach Bill at BillFerguson.com. Also has MasteryOfLife.com as well. And again, Bill has a wonderful free e-course that I encourage everybody to sign up for, which he will carry you through some of this material and how to look at your hurt and heal it and let it go. And it's just very, 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 very good. And
yeah,
so
there's a number of books that I've written. The newest one, Get Your Power Back, is about how to find and heal these deeper issues. And then also I do individual work with people. I walk people through the healing process, the process of finding and healing these hurts and having the difficult areas of life clear up. And then plus I'm based out of Houston, so we have weekend workshops and, you know, a lot of things to support people in their lives.
Yeah, and also if you want to get in touch with Bill too, by phone you can at area code 713-520-5370. And he'll be able to help you with any needs that you have. So, Bill, just kind of a wrap up our show for us today. I know that anything that you want to add to the rest of, you know, what you shared with us, we fully appreciate you being with us today on Journey to Success. So,
well, the real big thing is to notice that anytime, every time, there's an area of life that isn't working, notice that there's a truth that we're fighting. Something is the way that it is, and we're fighting it. The more you can surrender to the truth of it, doesn't mean you like it, but the more you can surrender to the truth of it. I hated that that's the way that it is, but it is the way that it is. Okay, based on that's the facts, what do I need to do? And that's where you get your power back. And then the other thing that's so important is for people to know that it's possible to live in the experience of love. And when you're in that experience of love, you're happy, you're alive, you're free, you have a very positive attitude, and life works. And that's the natural state of who we are. And as you bring that forth through you into your life, you create an incredible life. But we're born into a world that teaches us to shut it down. And now what we need to do is get it back. We had it when we were little, but we've lost it. Now it's time to restore it.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And Again, if you want to reach Bill, you can reach him at masteryoflife.com and check out his resources. He has some wonderful free articles on his website as well, which will help you move through some of this material. And so, you know, again, Bill, I want to thank you again for joining us today. You're listening to Journey to Success Radio Network. To find out more about the network, you can visit us at journeytosuccessradio.com. See you soon for our next amazing success story. Bye for now.